is Mandy, and I hope you feel good about yourself today.
Hi everyone, this is Ollie, and I am on my 6th shrimp recipe for the month. And this is the Mandy and Ollie podcast.
You search for guys with the most things. Daddy ran away, left your mama with the keys to the Mustang. Yeah, keys to the Mustang.
How are you doing today, Mandy?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Also okay. How are your goals coming along?
Well, first I was going to ask you about your shrimp recipes. Which okay. one would you say was your favorite?
So far, I think it's just because I like pesto. I did like a shrimp pesto pasta, and it was really, really tasty. I like making my own pesto, so that's been my favorite so far.
Mm. I like pesto, but I think I've tried to make it once, but I didn't have the right nuts.
Mm.
So I don't even remember how it turned out. But how did you like making your own pesto? How did it turn out, in your opinion?
It's fine. I've made it before. I don't always just use like pine nuts. I feel like that's more of a what gives you a nutty or a crunchy flavor. So I feel like that's open to interpretation. I'm not necessarily someone who just sticks to this is the way to make something. So yeah, I like it.
Mm. I think when I made it, it just didn't give me the taste I was expecting. And I probably assumed it was because of the nuts. But if you've made it a few times and you feel like that's not maybe the direct thing, or maybe that doesn't, you don't prioritize that as much, that'd be interesting to like taste someone else's.
Yeah. I feel like the only times it's made a difference is when I decrease the oil level, because you know it's kind of oil heavy and I'm not really an oily person when it comes to eating, even if it's for a sauce. So yeah, that's been the only change, I'd say. So I don't know.
All right, y'all. Maybe if you ask, maybe Ollie will give you her recipe. I said maybe.
And I laughed at that.
But before that, you asked me about my goals.
Mm-hmm, I did.
So I did a quick cleanse this week, and it did what I needed it to do. It mm-hmm. fulfilled the purpose for which I went on the cleanse, which was I'd been feeling very bloated and, gassy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to just do a quick cleanse so that maybe it'll stop. So it did stop, but I don't feel like I fulfilled it in a way where it was like, oh, I just feel like a brand new person. It didn't do all that. It just, I'm no longer gassy. So that's cool.
Okay. Was this something you made yourself, or did you get it from someone? I know people have these like pre-made juices and stuff. And I think you talked about doing one of those before with us. Like with the coworkers.
Oh, I did do that. that was the Arden's Gardens juice cleanse. I didn't like that very much because the amount of drinking I had to do, and I don't drink a lot. I don't feel like I don't consume a lot of liquids, despite the fact that juice is my favorite food. I feel like I'll do like one glass of juice and I'll be like, all right, I'm satisfied. I won't be like juice, 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 like 8 glasses a day or anything. Gotcha. Or even the 8 glasses of water that I should be drinking. So that's why that juice cleanse was difficult for me, because I had a hard time finishing the jug and then also supplementing water, which was the only other thing I could have with it. With this, it mm-hmm. was more like something I took to flush me out. And then I was drinking miso soup, which is miso is made of like a fermented thing. And they said that that's good for your gut and your innards and all that stuff. So for the past couple of days, I've just been having miso soup. I did add like some other stuff with it, but generally just miso. And I had some seeded grapes today too, which I haven't had seeded grapes in so long. Sounds like a
throwback, yeah. That's a throwback.
I feel like one thing I guess I never thought about, and I don't, this is just a theory that I developed in my head today, but I guess you could, I could maybe tell the difference in shape, even though the bag, I think, said seedless, or maybe it didn't, maybe I just read it wrong, but the shape of the grapes, I could tell, like, these don't look like the regular grapes that I see at the store. And then when I was eating them, I was like, oh, because they full of seeds. And I was like, well, they look more round, like more, more circular than oval.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how you tell the difference.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did have a question. So the miso soup you were making, was it prepackaged or was it you like hand making it?
I didn't. I bought the miso.
That's so wild to me that they say that that's a help then, because I know salt is a way that you can retain, not you, but, you know, general, you can retain bloating and stuff like that. So I wonder how that balances out.
I think it's because I also bought kimchi, but the miso, you know, could last longer because I dilute it with water and stuff. But it's the fermentation, basically. So it's probably why my dad loves him some sauerkraut or whatever other things that have been fermented for a while.
Okay. Well, how are you feeling now? Like, do you feel cleansed, lighter, healthier? Like, how are you feeling? Energetic?
No, I'm just not bloated anymore.
Okay. But you see a difference?
Yeah. It did what I needed it to do, especially because I'm not someone, I think we talked about this on the podcast, but I'm not someone who necessarily wants to do big. I'm not someone that usually would be like, I want to go on a cleanse. Like the juice cleanse, I went more so in solidarity, not because I was like, I want a cleanse or anything like that. So I don't feel like I like to make changes that wouldn't be realistic for me in my like everyday life. I like to eat what I want to eat. So for me, like saying I'm going to eat salad today isn't a stretch for me because I like salad, but saying I'm going to do a complete cleanse for 2 days, I'm like, no, I don't want to. At some point I'm going to eat something that's so even with like the miso, I added some noodles that I've had for a while, and I added this smoked turkey that I had bought last week. So I still was like, I'm going to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. But I needed to get something done. So I prioritized, at least for a little while, getting that thing done, which was getting rid of the bloating.
Cool, yeah. Well, glad it worked for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. How are your goals going?
They're kind of scattered at the moment. I feel like I've started on maybe 5 different things simultaneously, or at the same time rather, and they're all just like incomplete. So I'm glad I started on them, but the way my mind works is like, unless I focus on one thing, it won't get complete, but that doesn't work for me as well. I have to be focused on multiple things to get them done. So it's been helping me to write down what I need to do, and it's been helping me to kind of formulate a timeline. So I'm just trying to stick to that and actually like get up and do it. My sleep schedule's been kind of off, so I feel like that's the first thing that kind of needs to be fixed. Like I need to regulate my sleep a little bit more, and that way I won't like be burned out after waking up for 3 hours. So that's on my to-do list first, regulate my sleep.
Well, I would say, kind of in conjunction with my intro, what's something that you feel good about which you've completed? Because I know something that I would say for you, but I want to see if you have something for yourself.
I put up my new setup for my business, which I've had the ability to do it for a while. I just wasn't sure exactly where I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, but I did that. So my background, my ring light, my little clothes rack, everything's all set up for me to take better, brighter, newer, fresher pictures for my business.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure, or I wanted to, I guess, encourage, like, even though we always have more things on our goals that we got, gonna get done, a goals list is all, you know, if we're doing it right, it's always gonna be replenished. It's always gonna be like, I check one thing off, but I gotta put another thing on, or right, there's something else that I gotta do. But mm-hmm. still wanna, you know, acknowledge you for the things that you did do.
Appreciate that. Would you say that that's what you're feeling good about? You're getting through your cleanse?
Today?
Yeah. Or is it something else?
I guess I felt more. Yeah, I felt. I think I feel good about it today because the super cleanse part of it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not to give TMI. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okie dokie then. Are you ready to mosey on over to the safe space?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'll go first if you don't mind.
Don't I have a feeling we're gonna talk about the shame thing.
I feel like we will, but probably from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
I can't recall if I briefly mentioned it before, or if I mentioned it in jest, or how I brought it up, or if I brought it up on the podcast previously, but it really concerns me when everyday citizens look to celebrities to be their heroes. So with all the so with the disbandment or the protests surrounding SARS, of course, there's been a lot of uproar, a lot of support across, I feel like, the globe for people specifically in Nigeria and surrounding areas who are dealing with violence from government entities. And something that I saw really, really, really late last night / early this morning was this activist / protester kind of like, I won't say going in on Beyonce, but like holding Beyonce to task, saying you can't take from African culture and not speak up. You need to speak up for us. You need to say something. You need to give your input. You need to do all these things. And it just like irks me beyond relief to feel like these people think, again, celebrities are saviors. I feel like it's not fair. And also, we know that Beyonce, Be Good, her foundations, they always have their hands in the pots. They always have their ears to the grounds. They're always doing donations, doing fundraisers, doing all this stuff, and they're not necessarily doing it for the camera. So in the back of my mind, I was like, not that I have to check, but I feel like Beyonce is already on this. And come to find out, yeah, she was already on it, but here she is being dragged and being told, oh, you can come shoot with us, you can do projects with us, but you can't speak up on our behalf. So eventually, 1 o'clock in the morning, she makes a post to say, actually, yeah, I stand with you. I support you. I've been doing this. Basically, she's been doing the work. This is just one example of many where I feel like Black entertainers, specifically when it comes to political issues, are seen as spokespersons, whereas I don't see white singers, white dancers, white entertainers, white comedians being held the same in the same regard. And I don't know why that is. I have a theory that it's because you know, for a very long time in entertainment and media, all we saw were white faces. And then we saw a drizzle of blackness and brownness. And then, you know, some more doors opened up, still not more than the white faces we see. So I feel like it's kind of like a, oh, you made it, or we contribute to you making it. We supported you making it. Like, you're one of us. You're one of our own. Like, you're ours. So you have to maybe do things that support us or give back to us or reflect for us or something like that. I feel like it's a, oh, she made it. Like, that's our girl type of thing. Or, oh, that's our guy type of thing. That's my theory in my head, that people feel so connected that they have the right to say what another human being should be doing because they have a platform. And I don't think that's right. It brings me back to what I was referencing when I gave that whole, the counter of what we expect from white entertainers and what we expect from black entertainers is a speech that Malcolm X gave, where he was saying the same thing, like, celebrities do not speak for everyday people when it comes to politics. People speak for themselves. So it's not that I'm just trying to come from this from the celebrity standpoint, but I just saw a lot of like nastiness, like a lot of nastiness talking about, this is what you need to be doing. This is how you need to be supporting us. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, well, while you're online telling her what she needs to be doing, what are you doing? Or what can you be doing with your time? What can you be doing locally? What can you be doing online? How can you divert this energy to actually support this cause that you're now forcing this woman to publicly show she was already doing? So that's where my mind is right now. I feel like we might get further into talking about SARS, but I'm just going to pin that for now and hear your thoughts.
When talking about the celebrities speaking and where that expectation came from, I do in part think that it is that you're one of us thing, mm-hmm. but I think that they also do understand that mantle, because to an extent, like, all black people have it. It's the thing that we've been taught from childhood. Like, when you go out into the world, you don't just represent yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's like every space that you're in, you represent all of us. And they are in bigger spaces, they're in wider spaces, they're in international spaces. And so now it's like the whole world and the whole black community saying, well, this is how you have to represent us, because we're not in those spaces. But it is unfair and very unrealistic and ignorant to an extent, because while Beyonce and her people were doing those things and making those moves, we have examples of black celebrities who think, oh, I know exactly what the black community needs or wants. And then they're going into spaces speaking for us. And as you've also said on the podcast, like, nobody asked you to speak for me. Please be quiet. That's not a reflection of my beliefs. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like, you know, Beyonce knows herself, and she's going to continue to do what she sees fit, because I think some people would be like, oh, you think I'm not doing enough? Well, watch me do nothing. But she doesn't do that. She's just like, here are my receipts, but I'm probably going to continue to just do stuff behind the shadows, because everything doesn't need to have my face or stamp on it.
Right.
Because it's not about me. And a lot of celebrities do that. Like, sometimes, yes, it's them and their publicists that leak all of the information and things that they're doing. And mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's like someone else digging and Googling and, you know, prioritizing finding information about them that we then find information about them. Right. And as everybody knows, Beyonce is someone who likes to have control in her camp.
Right.
So it's only when things are being released that either she wants it to, or someone, you know, is most likely getting fired, because it was like, it wasn't supposed to go down like that. So in the case of that, I'm just like, I don't worry about how Beyonce moves. And in the case of this NSTAR situation, once it was presented, like, I guess that people wanted to hear Beyonce support, she showed her support and let that be the end of it. Like, because it is a serious movement. And if people, I think, I can't speak for her. Even though we're both Virgos, I don't know what goes on in her brain. But I feel like if I was in alignment with something that certain people said that they wanted or needed, and then but they were saying, like, if you could do it this way, it would, like, really benefit me, and I was in capacity to do it, then I would understand just being like, okay, let me do it. Because I do agree with what you're saying, and I have the ability to do it this way, and I want to show support, so I'm going to do it. And I think that's what she did. Because a lot of times people, and of course we see it in the form of celebrities, they get defensive. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I was doing this already, and blah, and it's like, let's not distract from the situation. If you're still in alignment with this cause or with this person, or and you have the ability to do it, please don't make about you. And I think that's what she did.
Right. And I don't expect anything less of her. I just, I would see it difficult if I was a celebrity and people were telling me I need to do something I was already doing. I would see it difficult to show them grace and show them patience, because I would probably have my same mindset and I'd be like, I'm already over here doing the work. Why are you wasting time messaging me at 1 a.m. in the morning? That's probably what I would say, even as a celebrity. And it's just, it's annoying. It's annoying for me. And it's not happening to me, but it's just like, it's not just one or two or three or four. It's like threads and threads and threads of people talking about what she needed to do specifically. And something else I wanted to point out, and this might not rub people the right way, but it's like Beyonce, you know, paid homage and did a project surrounding many different countries, including lots of countries in Africa. And let's look at it on paper. This was a project and it was a paid for project. So has she decided she did not want to say anything and did not want to get involved? That's also her right and her choice. Again, that's not her as a person, but I would feel like that's her right and that's her choice, no matter what people are saying, like, oh no, you have to continue to do things because of this project that you put out. It just seems, it seems like you're asking more of someone than what you would give yourself. And I'm not on board with that.
I mean, I just feel like you can continuously do things and it be thankful and unrecognized. Or people can still find a reason to, like, clown you or pass judgment on you. Like, look at Akon. Akon's constantly doing things for the Black community and in specifically in Africa. And, you know, once his popularity ended, then folks stopped caring about whatever it was he was doing. So a lot of times when people are huffing and puffing and blowing their house in, like, they care so much about the cause, it's just the magnitude or the attention of the thing. And once that thing is no longer in the forefront, there's still going to be certain people, certain celebrities that are working towards it because, like, that is, you know, a priority to them. Like, a lot of celebrities tend to have foundations that they focus on so that that thing is always being cared for, not just when it's like, you know, Breast Cancer mm-hmm. Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. It's like every year their foundation is working towards breast cancer research. Or every year their foundation is working towards helping literacy, or just, you know, mm-hmm. all kinds of things. Like, they can put emphasis on things as they're happening, but they also put energy into things year round, while the rest of us are just like, you know, what's the hot topic thing this week? All right, that's what I'm gonna put my attention to this week. And I feel like in 2020, in life in general, I think as you get older, you start to learn like to care about the world and find a thing that you care about. But in 2020, I think we're seeing so many different issues that we're also learning to just like, okay, let's care about people in general, care about issues. But I still would say like, it's important to find that thing that's super important to you. Them PETA people, they love the animals. They gonna PETA you the house down. And if you can find something that you can rock as hard with in regards to PETA, or if it's like in the police brutality thing, like I feel like Kendrick Sampson, like that is his thing. Like he talks about all kinds of issues, but police brutality, he talks about it every day. He's not going to rest or hold his breath if he feels like there's police brutality happening. Colin Kaepernick, like clearly that was his just. He's like, people are being disenfranchised based on their color. Racial injustice is his thing. Toni Braxton, she got Autism Speaks. She going Autism Speaks us for the rest of her life. Like some people have their things and. Mm-hmm. That should be even more so of like the call to action is like, find out what your thing is. What is the thing that you will fight for? And even with your closest friends and family, like you will drive to like make that thing important and a priority. I felt like I did that even this week with my parents talking about, adoption. Like I've already had this conversation with them and I'm like, I don't understand why I'm still having this conversation with you, but I don't feel like you showing full support and you're trying to explain to me all these things about how you grew up. And I'm like, I understand how you grew up. I understand your traditional values, but if I'm saying that this is important to me, I'm just gonna have to keep saying it until you understand type thing. And I hope that everybody, you know, finds a thing that they feel that way about so they don't have to come up Beyonce's rear about what she is and isn't doing.
Right. Because she's, from what I see, she's supposed to support all the things. She can't even just focus on one thing. She has to support all the things. And I do want to say, I've always been checking for Akon. I stopped checking for him when he decided to work with the Mexican guy who openly uses the N-word. That's when I stopped checking for Akon. But that's just me.
And then, you know, that's a valuable reason to just be like, I can't with you today.
Right. Yep. But I do commend him on all, like, he's opening up schools. He has his own currency. What is it? Akon Town or own city. Like, he's doing the darn thing in tech over there. So good on him for that. What's your safe space entry for today?
Mine is also related to the hashtag and SARS. I'd wanted to talk about it last week, but I didn't, even though it's been active and trending on social media for the past couple of weeks, I was like not feeling confident to speaking to it. So I had put it on to talk about this week. I'd like changed my structure so many times because I was like, do I want to say it in my intro? Do I want to add it into my underappreciated awards? Well, it makes sense to put it in, you know, safe space. I wrote it so many times that my thing is a little messy for this week, but I was trying to, you know, get my research together, be able to explain the situation, have my talking points. And then I started to watch more things that weren't directly related to that, but speak to, I guess, what I want to talk to about it. And then there was, all right, I want to get to my point of what I want to talk about, and then I'm going to talk about what happened yesterday.
Okay.
So when I look at the end SARS situation, which is a police division in Nigeria that is basically acting in corrupt form, harassing, attacking, raping, stealing, blackmailing the citizens. and to the point where it was videotaped that they had killed a young man, and that's when the protest started. And the protest gained national and international attention. And then there was like a fake placation of, okay, we're going to stop SARS. But really, they just created a new division, gave it a different name. And the citizens of Nigeria was like, you did this the last time. You keep doing this. It made me think about how it's not just as simple as racism. It's not just as simple as police brutality. All of those things are encompassed in it, but it's not just as simple as that. It's a whole global culture around power. Mm-hmm. And what people, like, once they get power, what they feel like is permissible to do, mm-hmm. and how they view people who have less power. Because when you look at Nigeria being, even though it's a young country, it's still a country of Black people as citizens, led by Black people. And they still have created a system that does not protect them, their citizens. Their citizens don't feel protected. And it's from the top, but it's also just from the division, from the people who say, I've been hired in this position as a SARS police officer, detective, or whatever, and I want to manipulate and use the power that I have against people who I feel like I can use it against, who are below me. It's a behavior I don't understand, and really makes, you know, it makes me feel unsafe, because it's like, where can you go to feel, where can you go? Like, where is it safe or tolerable for anyone? I feel like I've heard similar things, not about the police department in particular, but just like, I've heard similar things from my family members about Jamaica, where it's like, you know, don't go to Jamaica. Don't, you know, you think you're going over there with family and they'll steal from you. Like, they'll set you up. They'll this, they'll that. And it's just like what is this structure that as soon as someone feels like they have if someone feels they have the upper hand over you, that they're going to take it. And I'm like, when did even like being, having anything that maybe someone doesn't have become the system of like the upper hand? It's like, why is that what we're waiting for? I'm waiting to be able to have the upper hand on someone, to have the okey-doke, to elevate myself above them. Not like elevate for my own sake, but to be above someone else. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying, and I definitely see that as one of the causes, but I see this as two different causes. The other perspective I was reading about is that a lot of these SARS officers or representatives don't have anything. So it's like, if all I have is the authority to tell you what to do, then I'm going to take it from you, because I'm not getting paid what I need to get paid to live a comfortable lifestyle. I don't have anything to my name. So if they're giving me the power to rob you and take it from you, then that's what I'm going to do. So I feel like this is twofold. I feel like you said, this is you get a little bit of power or authority or say so, and you abuse it. And also it's like, why aren't these representatives or any of the citizens in the country able to live a comfortable lifestyle where they can provide for themselves when they have to rely on violence and these other atrocities.
Right. Which then comes to like the power of the government, where when they're being presented with like this problem or this issue, instead of really taking time to observe the situation, figuring out, do we need to give more training? And then once we're giving people more training, how are we making it sustainable for them to do their jobs effectively and live? No, they just say, well, this is trending right now, so we're going to say we ended SARS, but really we're just going to create a new division and do absolutely nothing to change it and hire the same people. Like, again, it just shows that power. It's like, you feel like you can just do whatever you want and not really think about how it's affecting other people or not prioritize like it's just general selfishness and, in my opinion, evil. And part of the reason I didn't talk about it last week, because I tried to talk to someone that I knew that's of Nigerian descent and ask them what was going on or what they thought about it. And they didn't really know anything, but then that also made me, besides the fact that it's like, I was already researching it, but like, You say this sometimes, like, not to ask people to give you information that you can get yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt like...
talking to, like, a direct source?
That's why I asked them, yes. But mm-hmm. I also realized, like, I didn't want to put the burden on them.
To explain.
Yeah, or to just be like, well, you know, this is going on with your people. What, you know, what do you think they should do about it? Or what do you think, you know, that looks really bad. Like, that's right. Of course, that's not what I was trying to do, but I'm just like,
right.
I could see where that would be the case. Like, of course, people who are of Nigerian descent feel a very serious closeness to this. Like, that is their homeland, mm-hmm. their country. They probably have family members there, mm-hmm. but that's even more reason why it's just like they want a change. They don't want to necessarily have to be the talking point or be the like answer for a system that is broken.
Right. Someone that I follow that is from Nigeria, whose family, she has family still in Nigeria, and her mom is, like, keeping up and keeping her updated every day. She's been posting photos, posting videos, posting these interviews and everything, and just, you could just tell, even in her presentation, that her heart is really heavy, and she's trying to get through and disseminate the information, but it's, like, really taking a toll on her, so I haven't asked her specifically, but it's also like she's giving all the information freely. Unfortunately, her profile is private, but if it opens back up, I'll try to share it. Yeah, it's definitely on us to educate ourselves about the situation, but I can also see you speaking to like a direct source. Like, if there's a book and you want to speak to the author instead of looking at reviews or reading the book just yourself, I mean, I think that's fair, but also it's also considerate of you not to want to place more burden or, you know, thought space on that. Maybe, you know, they're not trying to think about it, or maybe it's affecting them even more severely than, you know, we see in the media. So I think that consideration is definitely needed. What do you feel like Americans, I guess, should be doing? Like, Americans who want to help and support. Have you given that any thought? Like, what should they be doing?
So, there have been protests.
Mm-hmm. Here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know there were some in LA, I believe in Texas. Areas that probably have a large Nigerian American communities.
That would make sense.
But I think that even in areas that don't have a large Nigerian communities. I think that if we can find a way to come together and protest or gain information, I think that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because, again, in 2020, like, that's what the world did for Black Americans. Like, they were like, that's effed up. We're going to say something. America, of course, has a bigger media presence. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for it to get around the world. But that's even more reason why, like, we should do it. Because if not for social media and, you know, being a Black person who follows, like, other Black people in diaspora, I probably wouldn't have found out about hashtag NSARS.
Mm.
So, or the NSARS movement and protest. So anytime Americans, like, again, you agree with the people who are having these protests, and they're saying this is a way that you can align with us, I think that would be helpful to them. So that media information can get out there so that the world can see it. Because honestly, it does put that pressure on it. Like, as soon as it started trending, then Nigeria was like, okay, we'll end it. But the reality is, like, they don't just want to end it by saying you took the name off of the door, and put a new name on the door, but it's still the same company or right. still the same process. Like, we want the whole thing thrown out in the garbage. The only way that's going to happen is with more pressure put on them.
Yeah.
But generally, I would say look to the organizations coming out of Nigeria. I'm pretty sure they're being vocal about what it is that they're asking for and feel like they need.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I have seen that be like, you know, donate here, retweet this, but all of that stuff. So the people are going to say what they need.
Okay.
Especially because they've been taking time to, like, think about it. And I don't want to just be like, well, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not beneficial to their cause, even, like, what they're looking for. I'm like, well, you should do it this way. So, I would say, like, we can, when you're doing your research, you'll find information that says, like, this is how you can support.
All right. There was a slideshow that I saw that a lot of people were reposting, and I did want to read it. It's just, it's like a brief explanation of what's happening. So it starts off, it says, what's happening in Nigeria? The Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, was put in place to protect civilians from armed robbers. Instead, they extort, harass, attack, and kill innocent youth. They are profiling youth with nice cars, clothes, for simply having an iPhone, assuming that they partake in fraud and engage in crime. SARS operatives will stop you, go through your items, and force you to withdraw money from the ATM while threatening to beat or kill you. They are known for blatant robbery while being backed by the law. So far, Nigerian youth began protesting October 8th. A woman was shot for saying no to a policeman, refusing his advances, while a man was shot during a protest. What can you do? Use your voice on social media to inform the world about what's happening in Nigeria. And there's the hashtag, as Mandy said, in SARS. And they say your voice is needed, but you'll be able to follow that. And like she said, you'll be able to get resources, figure out what their demands are, what they're saying they need, and just listen to the people who are trying to be heard. So, yeah, if you weren't aware, I feel like the world is aware, but if you, I don't know, were under the rock with Patrick, then now you're aware.
I know what that reference means.
I'm glad.
Yeah, not at this. I mean, it's light. I started coming off of Nickelodeon around that time, but. Yeah, especially just after yesterday when the Nigerian government decided to respond to protests with army resistance, and the military got violent against the protesters, killing many people. I even saw because they would create blockades, which is a system that SARS would also do. Things that you would see at most protests, they're like, oh, it's the curfew, go home. But then you block off the streets, or you create a cornering protesters, creating a like a trap situation, and then say, well, they then attacked, or whatever the situation may be. But for sure there was a blockade. And then you say, well, they didn't follow the rules, they didn't comply, so it gives permission to attack. I saw a video where medical attention was not allowed to get through the process to those who were hurt.
Yeah, I saw that too. The EMTs and the doctors, which was just crazy to me. Like people volunteering to help people that you injured. Excuse me.
And in a lot of the things I watched, I saw something that Trevor Noah said that I thought was interesting. In bringing the military into it, the Nigerian government, and it's been said in America during protests as well, that they're trying to create law and order. And he basically said, it's interesting how law and order is always defined by a use of like violence. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but basically when they're like, oh, we're going to create law and order in this situation, and really what they're going to do is beat people into submission. Right. Like that's the way that they use it and define law and order. Like, right. You're going to learn today.
Right. That, I feel like that's, I know it's, I mean, it's a deviation away from the topic, but do you think that that's comparable or a reason that, like, parents beat their children also? Like, aside from getting beat themselves and saying, oh, this worked for me, like, you have governments that kind of enact the same thing, correct?
Mm-hmm. I definitely see a correlation. Which is why I think a lot more people are like trying to hold that magnifying glass to parents, and they don't want to see it. They're just like, oh, well, you say you're not going to beat your kids, that's cockamamie. But that's but that's even like you still have to continue to do it. That's how I felt talking with my father about the adoption thing. Like, he's really trying to be like, he said, I don't have a problem with you adopting, but you know, immediately contradicting himself, it's just like, well, what I have a problem with is if you don't have your own children. I'm like, I never said that I wasn't gonna have my own biological children, but why is that an issue for you if I don't? Like, why, if you say you don't have a problem with it, but you have a problem with it if I don't have my own biological children? You know the reason why I want to do it. You know that there are people who need to be cared for, but if it's not done in this traditional way that makes sense to you, then it's wrong. Like, and he was going in a whole kind of long spiel, and like, I didn't say I didn't support you. All I said was all these things that I think that you should do with, and that's more important, basically. And I don't know that I got to him, but I think in speaking about it with him, I got to my mother. But that's just how it is, where it's like, you don't have to be wrong to make someone else feel like you are saying what they're doing is wrong. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So it's like, as soon as you're like, oh, I'm not saying in every instance that you hit me, it was you trying to enact this law and order to prove a point, but there were times when that was done that I think that was the reason, and that's the same system that governments use. Well, I'm just gonna tell you about the way I grew up and all the times that you were bad, so you deserved it.
Oy vey.
Yeah, I just feel like we're constantly trying to figure out a way to survive and do what's right and make the changes to live in the type of world that we want to live in. Sometimes it feels bleak as fuck.
Like you said, there are so many things going on right now, and I'm not saying that this doesn't need to be highlighted. I just feel like it's something else added to the list, and it's, I don't want to use that word, so I'm not going to say it. I'll say it's something else added to the list that, that takes away attention from other things that are going on, and it's just like so much on everyone's plate. I'm just hoping, you know, everyone's still looking at the full plate and not just focusing just on the macaroni or just on the salad or just on the fruit. I hope people are still looking at the full plate, because I feel like sometimes there are these issues that rise to the top and that's all that anyone's looking at. And it's like, well, under the surface is the iceberg. So please just be aware of the full landscape. That's how I'm feeling. To be less ominous, I just feel like, of course, we're having issues after issues after issues, but it's like it's election season. The election is here. It's not election season. So it's just like something else to, I'll use the word distract. But again, I'm not trying to take away from the situation in Nigeria. I just feel like our minds are being pulled in so many different directions. I just hope people are still doing what they need to do here in addition to what they want to do abroad.
Yeah, I find it very hard to just like, I don't know, I have so many feelings and opinions on things, and it's strange to have a podcast because most of the time I don't feel like vocalizing them. I also feel like sometimes I have so many feelings about stuff, I just want to not feel these things or not.
Yeah, process or deal or even address them or acknowledge them.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's like it's like I'm on social media constantly trying to read up as much as I can about NSARS. And then I'm also like, I don't want to repost it, not because it's not important, but because even though I am seeking out this information, it's also very difficult to receive and mm-hmm. watch and process. It's very emotional.
Mm-hmm. I'm completely on board.
I don't
want
to put triggering stuff out for people.
Right.
I guess that's the easiest way to put it. I don't want to put something out there that's triggering for someone else.
Right. No, I'm completely on that same board. The only thing I've reposted about it are hospital in regards to NSARS are hospitals that are accepting patients for free, because I, like you said, I don't want to trigger anyone. I don't want to upset anyone. If someone's like, you know, maybe having a great day or hasn't seen anything too violent, and then they see my post or they're reminded of something or reminded of home, like, I am trying to keep that in mind. I feel like I was already doing that when it came to police brutality and Black Lives Matter and other things like that. It's like, I still see these things every day. I'm still following these people that, you know, are following up on these stories, who are reporting these deaths, who are reporting these egregious incidents. And it's like, I've just stopped reposting them, not only to protect other people, but to protect myself, because I watch my stories constantly. I'm editing. I'm always on my phone because I work on my phone. And it's like, I don't always want to see that stuff over and over and over, especially in a 24-hour cycle. So I understand that. And I think it's your right to choose. You know, if you want to post it, that's fine. If you don't want to post it, that's fine too. Like, I don't feel any kind of sense of guilt or anything like that, but I know I was going really, really heavy when all these just crazy incidents and ridiculous incidents and uncalled for and unjust incidents were happening. Then after a while I was like, this is hurting me and it's taking a lot of energy from me and this is making me unhappy. So I can see it for myself and I can watch it for myself, but I don't want to potentially, like you said, trigger someone else. So,
yeah, because you talked about this when I think when Greg was on, but like how you were trying to figure out the nice sandwich or process of like reintroducing either like more positive things or just like mm-hmm. other things into the situation. But like you say, you do work on your phone and use social media for like your brands and stuff. So you posting is not even like uncommon. I don't post that much. And I feel like most of the time this year when I was posting stuff, it was like, you know, information regarding the pandemic or some positive stuff like supporting Black businesses, but like things related to the police brutality. Like, I remember even like when there's like hurricane season and certain places are devastated, like it just feels like it's always like a very heavy period conversation of stuff. And I'm just like, I guess I just don't sometimes. Sometimes right. I do, sometimes I don't. It really just depends on how heavily I'm feeling it, which is, I don't know, a little selfish, but also like, who's going to take care of me if not me?
No, it's not selfish at all. Just think if we had like a higher platform, people would be holding you to task to do.
Right. What, like right now, while I can, let me just do nothing. Well, not do nothing. not do nothing. Not,
prioritize yourself. Yeah, you should prioritize. I don't think it's selfish at all. So,
because like Beyonce, I'm doing stuff behind the scenes. I'm just not posting it.
But again, even if you weren't, that's your choice.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. What's on your plate today for your meat and your potatoes?
Again, I'm like, okay, I wrote two things down.
Okay.
And I think I can make both of them quick. So I think I'll say both of them.
All right.
The first thing I wrote is I don't like when people post or say, make this go viral.
I hate that too.
I really don't like that. We're going to decide what we like and share and make viral or make relevant. But I really hate it when it's like nothing. There's nothing happening in this video. There's nothing happening in this post. Make this go viral. Because then it doesn't even feel like genuine whatever's happening. So one of the videos that I saw was like these people hugging their family members. Make this go viral.
What?
Why are you even videotaping hugging your family member? Just hug them. Why do you want to be famous for, like, why do you think you should be fame worthy for hugging family members?
People want to do the bare minimum to get the maximum result. And they think that the internet will just do that for them. You create one viral video and you just set for life. It's like, it don't work like that.
And then demanding it, like, make me go viral.
Do I'm something viral worthy and you'll go viral.
Right. Or like, do just be genuine about the positivity. Like, for example, the lady who showed the video of the woman she had just interviewed, and they had like the security cameras or whatever, and the lady was doing like a little praise dance outside because she felt confident about the interview. Like, she was just happy about the interview.
Yes.
And that went viral.
Yes.
The girl didn't know she was being videotaped, and the lady wasn't like, make this go viral. This girl was just dancing after her interview with me. Like, no, it just happened because it was a positive thing that people enjoyed. Or unpositive things also go viral. Like the little girl blowing out the other little girl's birthday cake. Sometimes things go viral, but don't demand it of somebody.
Right. If there's one way to make me not do something, it's to tell me to do it. Like, make this go viral. Instagram report post. Yeah, I'm on board with you with that.
Do you want to do yours before I do my next one, or do you want me to do my next?
Yeah, I can do that. I know like this isn't necessarily the most positive episode, but I did want to ask you, is there anything that you really want to splurge on, or is there something that you have a guilty pleasure, like, you know, if I had this amount of money, I would get this, or I'm going to save this amount of money to get this? I think mine, and I don't even have the space to put it anywhere, so that's how I know this is manifestation, far out thinking. There is this huge couch. It's in the form of like a U, and it doubles as a bed and also like theater and storage and just kind of like this open area where everyone can just chill out. Like if all your friends came over, a good 10 to 12 people could fit on there comfortably and y'all could all just kick it. And I'm like, I want that. But that thing costs like $5. And knowing how I am, I'm like, even if I had the $5 to waste on a couch, I would be trying to figure out how to get it for like $500. So I don't foresee it happening anytime soon. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, when I get the space to fill up like a whole living room with a U-shaped couch bed type conundrum and just have all my friends kick it, then I'm gonna get it.
I don't know what you're talking about. And those things do look fun. Mm-hmm. Mine, from what I could think of real quick, is like a personal chef.
Oh,
I could just have somebody come and cook for me, especially because I've been craving like certain things.
Hello.
And in my mind, it was like, oh, I want it, and I want it the way I like it or the way I make it, but I also don't want to make it. But also, or the, I just want it, even if I don't make it. Mm-hmm. And I did that a couple of times where this past couple of weeks where I made macaroni and cheese, it didn't even feel worth it. and then I made, I did it. It was just like, oh, okay. Maybe my friend was like, did you put bacon in it? And I was like, nah, maybe, because I don't keep bacon in the house. I was like, I guess I should have splurged on some bacon or at least put some shrimp in it or something. I don't know. And then I made some curry goat over the weekend. And that was good. But my mom was like hating on it because she didn't like that I bought it online. Which I used this black-owned grocery service. But again, my parents being old school, my mom was like, you should have gone to the farmer's market. And then I was like, I don't know how to pick goat regardless. Like the reality is if I was presented in front of any kind of store, I wouldn't know which is the right goat to pick. So there's no point in me personally being the one to go get it. And in this way, I got to support a black-owned business, which was originally my intention. And then I saw that they sold goat. I was like, when else am I going to be able to buy goat online? So that's what I got. Like, now I can finally learn the family's goat, a curry goat recipe. Mind you, my mother don't make curry goat. Like, she's sitting here as a critic, as someone, of course, who knows what it tastes and what it should taste like. And she, by the way, she didn't say it tasted bad. She said it tasted good. Mm-hmm. She just couldn't say it was good because I bought it online.
What? But if we think about it, all food is purchased online. These stores have deals with these farmers, these meat factory facilities. The transactions are done digitally. Things are signed digitally. And then transportation, unpacking, repacking, putting on shelves, all that stuff happens that way.
You're saying all that, but my mom wouldn't know what that means.
I know. I don't know why I just gave that. I know. Parents just don't understand.
But to me, it was just ironic because whenever I want to make a Jamaican dish, my mom always act like she never even heard of it, let alone know how to make it. I can't make that. You have to ask your Auntie Daphne and blah, 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 which is her sister. Mm-hmm. So this is the recipe that I got from my sister who got from my Auntie Daphne. So when I was making it, I was like, I didn't even bother ask you because I know that you would have said you can't make it anyway. So I got the recipe from a person who got it from the source. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to complain because if I hadn't told you how I bought the goat, you would have ate it just fine and been like, this is great. Because I told you I bought it online and it was shipped to my house. Now all of a sudden, it's not just, you can't just say it's good. It's
so funny. So funny. It wasn't an exact situation, but when I was dating this one person who didn't have a whole lot of melanin, we decided to make something for Thanksgiving. And I told all my family members that I made it. It was a sweet potato pie. And so we brought the sweet potato pie and people were killing it. They were eating it. Everything was all good. And then eventually, after I let everybody get their bites in, I was like, oh, actually, the person I'm dating made the sweet potato pie. And everybody just kind of looked at me like with this look of betrayal. But I'm like, it don't matter.
Right. you ate it just and it fine.
Good. Like, I helped him and I gave directions, but it was fine when you thought I made it. But now all of a sudden, nobody want to eat the funky sweet potato pie. Sit down.
Right. I'm like, the person came in with sweet potatoes. It's not like they came in with pumpkin. What you Hello? Complaining for?
Hello? Hello?
People just like the huff and puff.
Hello?
Everybody want to be the big bad wolf.
Hello? And I don't want to give pumpkin no shine. I posted a recipe the other day, and it was this lady making this like no bake pumpkin recipe, and she used canned pumpkin puree, but I was like, I just want to post her method, not the thing. So one of my brothers reached out to me. It was like, what did he say? I forgot what he said originally, but eventually we got to the fact that it was pumpkin, and I was like, I thought you were going to rag on it being pumpkin. He was like, well, I didn't want to bring up two negatives while talking to you. I was like, I don't understand. No, that's what he was like. He's like, pumpkin in a can? I was like, I know, right? I thought pumpkin, period, and that's how it went. But I was just like, I don't understand what this obsession over pumpkin pie is. It's just, and I know it's a big debate, pumpkin versus sweet potato, and I'm just like, in my head, it's not a debate. Like, what are y'all doing?
So, I don't like all of the hate on pumpkin, in particular because people be hating on it when it has nothing to do with the pies. I'd be like, you not gonna get a sweet potato chai latte. It's just, that's not gonna be on the menu. So what you mad for? Like, why are you mad at the pumpkin spice for being there? You would never go get a sweet potato latte. That is never gonna happen.
That's funny. But we talked about that, though. Is it really pumpkin spice or is it like fall flavor spices? They just label everything pumpkin. And it's like,
but sometimes they do use like for certain baked stuff, they mm-hmm. do use like actual pumpkin stuff. It's not just the spice.
That's true. Sorry to hear but people, it, but that's true.
That's like, y'all need to stop acting like pumpkin, especially I think because in Jamaican culture, there's different kinds of pumpkin. Like mm-hmm. we're not always with the orange jack-o'-lantern type pumpkin. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, to me, as I explain it, I'm like, one is a root and one is a gourd. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different ways that you would use those different things anyways. Mm-hmm. So arguing about them because they have a similarity in color and experience of a pie, it don't make sense to argue them down for everything else. They're not the same.
That's
which is why the pies are different, because they're not the same.
That's a good point. I think it's the aesthetics. It's the fact that they're the same color and someone can deceive me if I don't get a good whiff or see, you know, how the oil is rising to the top. Someone can deceive me into thinking that I'm about to bite into sweet potato. But that's a good point, because there are even sweet potatoes that are not the same color. There are Japanese sweet potatoes that are straight up white that taste delicious, tempura style. And if someone gave me a pie that was white, it was like, this is sweet potato pie, I'd be like, psh, man, you don't get that out of my face.
Right. Which I grew up eating, because I think the Jamaicans eat it a lot, too. I don't know. If it came from China, then it's a high likelihood, because there's a lot of Chinese people in Jamaica. But, yeah, I think it's the, like you said, it's the color thing, and then they both come out in fall. Mm-hmm. So people's like, you trying to trick me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, they two different things, fam.
That's right.
They just happen to look alike.
I feel like pumpkins are definitely seasonal, but sweet potatoes are always on the shelf, actually. So I don't know why we don't have sweet potato pie year round. It's always on the shelf.
Yeah, something y'all need to ask yourselves.
Chill out. Chill out.
People from the Southern
Chill
community.
Out. Chill out. What else did you have on your...
Especially because I'm sorry, but I'm like, if y'all put potato salad at like every family function, no matter what time of year... Which, my family almost never has a potato salad. Like, I had to reintroduce potato salad into our lives because we just didn't, that wasn't the thing we were eating. But I'm like, if y'all go eat potato salad at every function, you might as well eat the sweet potato pie at every function. Why not?
But I think it's like, so it's not just the fact that it's sweet potato. It's the fact that it's also the dessert category. Like, not everybody is having like sweet potatoes as dessert at like the graduation party. What do you have? You have like cookies and the graduation cake. At the cookout, what do you have? You have like cookies and the cookout cake. You know, no one's really thinking bring a sweet potato pie to the barbecue. So I don't know.
If you bring cobbler, then bring any function you bring cobbler to, just bring your sweet potato pie.
That's fair. I can agree with that. If you can bring the cobbler, you can bring the sweet potato pie. Cobbler. Huh. What else was on your plate? You said you had two, possibly? Or you said you had two, yeah. Definitely?
Yeah. The other thing I had is when outside comes back, I'm going to take some Home Depot classes.
Oh.
What do you want to learn how to make things.
Like all the things or specific things?
Whatever. I'm going to depend on what class they got. I'm going to be like, yep, I'm going to do that one. And that one and that one. And that one and that one.
Do you like DIY videos? I have like a very creative and just like, her mind is crazy, the thing she makes type of friend, and I'm always sending her DIY videos. Do you like those, or do you watch those on Instagram?
I do like the videos. I do watch the videos, but I'm also like, these people have a certain level of skill set. and that's why I want to do the Home Depot classes, so that I can have the skill set under supervision, that when I am then alone and decide to DIY something, I feel confident in my abilities to do so. Because even when I made the tire table, mm-hmm. I do not myself own a drill. I had to have my friend come over who has a drill, and I was also like, all right, I'm gonna drill this, but you be here because clearly you've drilled things before. So leave me alone with this drill.
So funny. That's cool, taking the initiative, or even wanting to take the initiative to take the classes. That's cool. Or even realizing that they have these. I didn't know Home Depot did classes, but I would assume that they would. That would like definitely be a way to garner more business. So that would make sense. Yeah.
They do classes, and I think, I mean, it might have been Home Depot, but it could have also been Floor and Decor did classes too for like flooring stuff. Mm-hmm. One of those places is how my dad learned how to do it before he started.
Holy hell. I just thought your dad was always.
He also already had a skill set.
Right.
Right. Like, he knew how to do things in general, and then it was like, all right, how do I do this flooring? So that's why, to me, it'd be like, I need to go to the beginner class of everything to create a basic skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can be like, okay, now I want to learn how to do this specific thing. Because right now my dad is doing a project that honestly he too old to be doing, but you know, he gonna do what he want to do, because mm-hmm, when I see him up on that ladder or up on that scaffolding and it's shaky and it's getting dark outside, and I'm just like, he don't have no business out there. And my mom's like, I know. And we're like, oh well, we can't make him do anything he don't want to do. So he don't like when we tell him what to do. But I'm also like, the fact that he has the ability to do that at all is a thing that I definitely feel like me and my siblings should have learned, and we would have learned, except for his way of teaching things is very horrible. So anytime he wanted us to participate with stuff, everyone would end up frustrated. And now none of us know how to do things, because my brother's still working with him on that project. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, that's the reason why I don't know how to do as much as I probably should know or could know how to do, because I stopped asking you to help me with my homework because you would make that such a stressful experience for me that I had to become smart. Otherwise, I'd have to ask you for help with my homework. And that's how it is with everything else. Like, I would be, you know, carpenter girl right now, but I was like, let me get into this, you know, indoor stuff, because if I want to do anything outdoor, I'm going to have to do it with you, and you're going to give me high blood pressure in the process. Mm-hmm.
Yikes. There are local universities here that are offering auto technician classes. I've never wanted to be an auto technician. I've never wanted to know why the oil pan drips the way it does, how to fix a carburetor, whatever. I've never wanted to know. But now I'm kind of interested because they said free. And I was like, huh, you can, it's training you to get your ASC or ACE certificate, like a certificate you can literally use and go make money. And I was like, and the classes are free, and they're like, completely free. Everything's free, 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 for free, because everything's virtual. You don't have to come in. Free, for free, for free. And I'm thinking about it. But I'm just like, also like, I'm already doing the classes. I'm trying to do my business stuff. I've got some other stuff going on. I don't think I need to be adding anything else to my plate, but I'm like, I don't know if, you know, next semester, if it'll still be available that way, you know what I mean? No telling if they'll just be like, oh no, you can come to campus now with your mask and give us your $3,500 deposit. Like, I don't know how that's going to change, but it definitely interests me. I haven't been able to like dedicate in my mind like you, like, oh, I'm going to do this yet, but I am interested in learning a new skill set. So I think it's cool.
Well, I will keep my fingers crossed that they will keep it to next semester so that you can take the class.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Ready to mosey on down to the underappreciated awards.
Come on and mosey on down the road. Come on and mosey on down the road. Don't you carry nothing that might be a load. Come on and mosey on down, down the road. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So, Ali, who's receiving your underappreciated awards?
My underappreciated award is going to whoever decided one day to dip things in chocolate. Whoever decided, these peanuts would taste great in chocolate. These strawberries would taste great in chocolate. This milk, great in chocolate. Whoever decided to add the cocoa bean, ground it up, make a powder, and mix it into things. Or, this chocolate would be tasty covered in chocolate. That is who is receiving my underappreciated awards for today. This vanilla cake, vanilla cake, great covered in chocolate icing. Okay, I think I'm done. Mainly food-related things.
As Ollie knows, I'm not always the biggest chocolate person, but I was thinking about some chocolate this week, but I stopped myself because I was thinking about it yesterday after I had been cleansing. I was like, that don't make sense. Don't do it. So I didn't get it.
You got some self-control on you. I wanted chocolate this past week, so I bought some, and I was like, next week I'm probably going to want gummies. So I bought that too. It was the foresight for me. So that's what I did.
I thought you would have waited till November 1st.
Girl! It just seemed like time is moving backwards for me. When October got here, I was like, how did it get here so fast? And now I'm looking, and we were in mid-October. I'm like, man, it's taking a while to get to mid-October. Now we're at the end, and I'm like, how do we get here? So time construction in my head right now is just wonky. I didn't even realize November was next. I didn't even realize.
That's funny that you say that, because 2020 has felt like the longest ever. We still, you know what else? This has been the longest 4 years.
I'm hello? Like, hello? And is it just because we're at like one of our peak moments as adults where we can comprehend all the BS going on? Like, you think that's partly what it is? Like, we can see and feel and actually are affected directly? I don't know.
I think it's that when you're a kid, there's very few big things that happen that you take note of.
Mm-hmm.
And you're waiting for like you be waiting for something special to happen as a kid. You get real excited for it. Even just like when tragedy hits, like maybe you remember some things, but you don't remember all things. But then as an adult, we have more things, not necessarily get excited for, but to recognize and acknowledge and prepare for, like voting and jobs and what a pandemic means and police brutality. Like, as a kid, you might hear about it, but to be honest, you're probably trying to be sheltered from it to an extent. So you're not experiencing or understanding the gravity of what it all means.
Right.
You just, like, I'm still seeing people tell their kids, well, we vote every 4 years. No, you vote every year. There is always an election. Stop telling kids that. Every 4 years we vote. That means you've been doing it wrong.
Voting, you're doing it wrong.
That's why you're confused about it now. Like, well, where do I go and what do I do and blah 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 blah, because you ain't been doing it. Right. So you don't know how it works. People who've been doing it know exactly how it works.
All right, that could also be part of the reason though. Like, let's just tell them the voting's every 4 years so we can do what we want to do every year.
Right. But Anywho,
Mandy.
yes, Holly.
Chocolate devoting. Who is receiving your underappreciated award for today? Who and or what?
I kind of let the cat out the bag a little bit because of one of my tangents earlier / comments to your meat and potatoes, but mm-hmm. my underappreciated award is going to people who regularly cook for themselves because okay. a lot of times I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. And while I do have the discipline not to go out and spend money, I don't have the discipline to then cook. So I'll just sit there and go to bed hungry. So for the people who cook for themselves regularly and make the things that they like and want to eat and meal plan and prep and all that stuff, shout out to y'all for feeding yourselves.
You wild for that. You wild for that. Funny. Yeah, shout out to y'all. Meal prep isn't easy. And I mean, I've done it. You've done it, I believe. Like, it's not easy. It's something you have to consistently. It's like working out. Like, ugh. It's something you have to consistently do and want to do and, you know, just focus your mind to do it. Especially if it's the same meals you're eating back to back. Like, ooh-wee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm on board with commending them for that.
All right.
Right. Would you like to tell the people where they can find us?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at MNO Podcast. You can send us all of your thoughts, questions, comments, and concerns at mandyandolly@gmail.com. Please be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast so that you know when we drop a new episode. Oh, and mm-hmm. you can send us a voice note mm-hmm. on Anchor. Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll end up in the podcast.
Maybe it will. We'd love to hear from y'all. All right. It was good talking to y'all. Bye.
Yeah, you look so familiar. Don't I know you from back when? Yeah, way, way back when.